thank you for joining me on this 13th day of October in the year 2020 from the Lucy Coleman Studio, a studio dedicated to the memory of my dear wife, 34 years. Boy, what wonderful memories I have. Not only do I have the pictures in the book, pictures in the computer and the memories, the sound clips, the videos and all that, the girls when they grew up in the house here with me, God has always been good and taking care of those things. And he kind of like knows the things that keep me smiling. What we're going to talk about is staying connected today and how do we necessarily stay connected when we're living through this pandemic. A lot of things are changing and some things are not changing. I'm out and about. I meet with a few friends now and then. Sometimes we're close to each other because I don't like to live in that fear and atmosphere. And this is the way I view it. Don't do anything that would necessarily, arbitrarily get you infected. Don't get out there and get with people that you're not familiar with that could be sick, could be a character. But how do you do that when you live in a world around people? Well, it's almost entirely impossible unless you stay isolated. I was looking at the news this morning and they were, you know, since we were talking about staying connected, and they were talking about the surges of the corona cases going up in Europe, Great Britain, France, Germany, all over in Italy, all over Europe. The counts are beginning to go back up. And needless to say, even in this country that we live in, the counts are taking a spike right now. But what do we do to stay connected? First of all, follow, the World Health Organization in this. You can't look to our political leaders at all because you aren't really seeing anything from them. There's nothing that you can really put your finger on to say, well, this works and that doesn't work. I think that the whole nation is kind of like in a dirty flux right now, trying to find out what to do. Now, there are a group of us, and I must address this because I've never been that kind of a person, though a lot of people think that I am. I'm not. I'm not the kind of person that all of a sudden gets religious because a new influenza is out, or in this case, this pandemic. What do I do in order to stay connected? Well, I don't have to do anything to stay connected to the God that I love. I don't have to do penance. I don't have to keep going back saying things to God that he doesn't already know about me. That is the individual religious practices that people get themselves involved in. And if that works for you, and if you want to count the beads and do all those kind of things, do it. You know, if it's going to bring you certain solace. I called a friend of mine, and the friend said, yeah, I can do for some company. And I went by to visit him. And as we were talking, he said, you're giving me therapy that I needed. And I said, I didn't know that. And he said, yeah, you're hitting unconsciously without me saying anything, the very things that has been keeping me down. Because I know that some people, when they stay in and away from everybody, four walls, a smaller home than mine too, just basically. Wow, did you hear that? Well, something within the system, I guess. But, you know, you get kind of batty because you're closed in and you feel like you're being caged in and you can't get out of that cage. This is the way a lot of people feel during this pandemic. And it brings them, obviously, some kind of, and well, it intimidates him. So I'm gonna share just a couple of things about how we can stay connected. And I'm not going to talk about how I stay connected as a senior citizen. Because I'm not just talking to that group. I'm talking to my friends that listen to me, my friends that want to know how I individually stay connected. First of all, I have to search out my objections. What are my objectives in life? What are the goals that I want to pursue? Have I pursued them all? I will be involved in an interview this afternoon, and I'm going to be asked by this interviewer to talk about anything that I'd like to talk about for about 5 or 10 minutes and keep a particular focus on that. And that's going to be an awful lot of fun to do, to keep the conversation lively and to share a part of what I'm about. But I wouldn't do that unless I had an objective. And so search out your objectives in your life. During a pandemic, if you've lost your job, if you're losing your place of residence, if you've lost a loved one through COVID, these are terrible things that I'm talking about. But search out those objectives. What do you have left? What about the loss? What did the loss of that loved one do to you? How is it going to help you do the rest of your life? Is the rest of your life going to be put on pause because this person passed away? Can you find the strength? And I know that death is difficult. I've experienced it all through my life. I know it's a very difficult experience, especially when it's a parent, a loved one, a companion, a breadwinner. Darn it, the person that gave stamina to the family, that gave the family a fixture to focus upon. What do I do after this person is taken away from me by COVID? Well, what you have to do is search out your objectives. What now is the objective of your life? All right, let me talk about me a little bit. I no longer pastor. I don't want to pastor anymore. I didn't want to do it when I was doing it, to tell you the truth. And that goes into another story, because when God calls you to do something during a certain time in life, you do it. And when God calls you to get out of that, you know, there is an idea going around that once you get into a job, that you're supposed to retain that particular job for the rest of your life. Following me, you know that's not true. No, I could do more things than preach. Yes, I can do more things than follow a line of theology. There are hundreds of things that I could do, but I would have to search out that objective. Let me put it to you like this. If you're healthy, don't have any maladies about you, if you're not ill, if you don't have any diseases, and you're in your 20s, let's say, and you're at the prime of your life, you can do anything that you would like to do if you just put forth the energy to do it. When I watch movies that talk about the black community and what happened in our culture, what Vietnam did to us and how it took away the cream of the crop, I'm also forced to take a very deep, close look. I heard you out there trying to wake me up. Good morning, Mr. Harcourt. You want to say hello to the population? Yeah, he wants to know who I'm talking to in here. That's what he's doing, jumping all up and down on me. No. But if you can recall all those things that other people had depended upon, well, that's pretty good, too. talk with people that have a track record of knowing how to get things done. But here's another one. Discover what gets in the way of you being objective in your life and get rid of that. In other words, whatever stands in the way of your objectives, your objective reality, whatever gets in the way of that, you've got to smash it. You've got to destroy it. You've got to eliminate it from your thinking process. And surely, if it's negative towards you and causes you to decline in a particular way, get rid of that. Don't do that. When I speak with men my age, up in my age, the ones that can still hold a decent conversation without going and falling back on to what their old Uncle Jed told them or what their grandpapa told them. Well, these people are dead, gone. And here we are living in the year 2020. How do you stay connected? Well, you have to discover what gets in the way of that objectivity and demolish it. You have to listen to me for a minute now. Hear what I'm saying. Erase it from your playbook. Let me give you a good example. A good example. When I was pastoring, when I was pastoring, there was always people in the church that came to me with ulterior motives when they had a conversation going with me. Pastor, is there anything wrong with me? See, that's a loaded question, because what they're trying to do, well, if the pastor tells me what he sees and God is talking to him, then I can believe him because, see, he's telling the truth. No. You're jaded. That is not objective thinking. That is opening yourself to someone else's subjectivity. And when you open yourself to another person's subjectivity, which is completely oppositely opposed your objectivity and you getting ahead in life, you're in danger. So when they would say, Pastor, do you think that I'm a wicked person? Do you know what I would answer them? Why don't you think up a few nice things that I'd answer them? No, forget it. Taking up too much of my time. I'll tell you what I used to tell them. I used to tell them, you haven't even entered my mind. Now, immediately that throws church people into a tizzy, because the pastor's supposed to be thinking about you, because, see, we giving our offering and our tithes, and we taking care of you. No. I told him my wife works, and at that time, I was still working. And I said, and I'm working. I don't need you to take care of me. I never needed you to take care of me. Now, if you're going to ask me something about God, the Bible, the way of life, that we can live in peace and have harmony, I'll try to help you that way. But this other stuff you're asking for, no way. As I think more about this subject matter, I cannot help but to think about the Supreme Court justice that they're thinking about swearing in a few days. They've already started what they call the confirmation hearings. I didn't know too much about the lady, except for what the news is saying, highly qualified, highly educated, a mother of a group of children, the wife of one husband, Catholic, devout Catholic, and a very educated and sensible woman who have written hundreds and hundreds of briefs on the law, thoughts about justice and the Constitution and what constitutes the right kind of law in our system here in America. Listen to my dog. Whining. Somebody's dog whining. But I thought about her. And as I watched the news this morning when I got up, see, I discovered something about her that I didn't know until today. Talking about staying connected, man. You know, and I told you that I don't listen to people that don't like other people necessarily because of who they are. Let's see. Oh, okay. And, okay, this is wonderful, man. All right. And I am looking... forward to the visit. How about that? That's fantastic. And they said that they're going to bring some food and some coffee. Okay. Good. How do I stay connected? I stay connected through doing what I said. I search for what my objectives are. I find the people that believe in staying the distance from me and communicating at that distance. And this person is in the medical field that's visiting me tomorrow. And I'm really happy about that because they can give me a few tips on health, taking care of myself, and all of that. God is good. But I was thinking about sharing something. The Supreme Court Justice, that's right. And I found out that she appears to have two adopted children, and they're black. And, of course, the nominee is a Caucasian female, but two of her children are black. I haven't read the history behind her, but I want you to just hear me out now, all right? Donald Trump is supposed to be a racist, right? This is what a lot of people are trying to tell us, right? He's supposed to be a racist. But he puts forth as a nominee. Just listen to me for a second. Listen to me. When you want to stay connected, I told you, I don't listen to people like Maxine Waters. I'm glad this young man named Collins, I think his name is running against her and needs to dump her because she's a disgrace to politics in my community, if you tell me the truth. That kind of politician, I call it the old L. Sharpton type politics. That's gone. That doesn't fly very well. Doesn't fly very well at all. They can call Sharpton to do an Aretha Franklin funeral. That's good. That's about up his alley. But to deal with things in this new age, man, there's a lot of things just spinning through my mind that I can share with you about that. But would a racist president who hates black people nominate a woman that has raised two black children in her home. They didn't come from her womb. I don't know whether she adopted them or it's her cousin's children or whatnot, but they are her children and her husband's children. Would a racist president that hates black people nominate a white woman that's very conservative, that has black children in her house bearing their name? Huh? Stay connected with me. Stay connected with me. Because if you cannot stay connected with me, you will not be able to answer those kinds of questions. You're going to be listening for the naysayers. All right, let me give you something else. Knowing that this woman has done something as extraordinary as that, if she did indeed do it, I don't know the reasons why, but when her family was set it there in the room, when they had her there, that's her family. Ain't nobody lying about that. You know what? I got something else. I'm thinking about that politics and what happened. Whatever happened to the Surgeon General? He was a young black man. Smart, intelligent, educated, highly educated. But since the coronavirus started and he got personal, talking about mama and papa trying to help the black people took it as an offense. And he was just only talking about the way we view our families. Man, when the black people saw that this man was married to a white woman, if I ever get you 10, that black man probably got threats to kill him from black people because he, like me, didn't choose to get together with a black woman to have babies. Telling you, man, and a lot of these folk are religious folk. You know, that's why when I look at the, you know, John MacArthur and his folk over there, white, and they got certain feelings about blacks coming in there, you can't help it. You're going to lean towards your own kind. That's just the way people are. But if you're going to stay connected in a society like this, and you searched out your objectives, and you discover what gets in the way of those objectives. And at the same time, you have discovered how to destroy those obstacles that are destroying you. You're a darn good person. You have really learned how to continuously get ahead, stay ahead. Oh, I'm loving these little talks that I'm having with you, especially on staying connection. Eliminate the difficulties that get in your way. If it's friends, and I'm not going to do, you know, everybody talking about toxic friendships. And I don't have no damn toxic friendships. If I'm sitting down and if I'm talking with somebody and somebody says something to me, and I disagree with what that somebody is saying to me, all right? If I disagree with it wholeheartedly, I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to let you toxify me. I would ask, why do you keep talking with me like that? See? And when you stay connected with what's right for you and where you are and how you make it, you eliminate that. And lastly, find that path that is a sure fit for you. Not for your parents, not for your children, depending upon your age. Find that sure fit for you. I recall when I was a young preacher and I started to preach, And my pastor, I never asked him for time to preach. He said, John, you show me a text that you'd like to study, and I'd like to have you present it to the congregation. I got a text that I was pretty familiar with, and I preached it. And you know what he would do? He would sit in the chair in the pulpit behind me, and if I moved a particular way or something, he would tap me with his walking cane. You know, pop on the side of my leg. Now, the people in the congregation couldn't see it because there was a partition separating the view from the pulpit. But the other preacher up there, Lewis, saw what he was doing to me. The choir member saw what he was doing because they were sitting behind him. If you know the structure of the Black Baptist Church, the way it's set up. So one Sunday I was up there, and I had a tendency to move from one side of the pulpit to the next because I've always been a very, even as a professor of philosophy, I'm moving. You're not going to see me just standing behind the lectern and frozen there. I have to become a moving target for the audience to see. That holds them. That's a good teaching methodology. It grasps their attention. One day he went to hit me with that walking cane, and I grabbed him, bop, as he did that, and I shoved it back at him without losing my place in my head in what I was doing. Because my style of moving behind the lectern or the pulpit was a sure fit for me. I don't want to stand like he stood. I didn't want to imitate or emulate him while I was doing the thing that God had called me to do. I never was that. You know what? Another career that I had, I was a Los Angeles City traffic officer, and I used to direct traffic. And they gave me the normative things, how to turn left turners and do all that. And I remember I would get out in the middle of 7th and Broadway downtown, and they would say, just stay in the middle of the street. There was a little iron plate out there right on the center of the street. And he says, you stay there because they could see you from all modes of traffic. Man, I used to love to work 7th and Broadway because I was so energetic and moving. The supervisors would stop and watch me, and the supervisor would say, John, we didn't train you to do that. And I said, of course not, but I found a way that works for me. I can move this traffic, stop all the other traffic, and control the pedestrians on the street corner with my white cap, my white gloves, my whistle, and my nice light blue uniform, and my yellow patches, and my Ray-Ban sunglasses on. I was cool, brother. And I could direct some traffic, and I had no illness, no arthritic condition in me. My body was limber. I was young. Oh, I was fit. And diesel fuel didn't bother me if some got in my lungs. See, I found my path. That was a sure fit for me. And so the supervisor said, I don't want you to direct traffic like that. And I said, thank you for your suggestion. But he never pulled me off the corner because couldn't nobody move traffic faster and better than me and Oz V. Wilson. That's right. Oz V. Wilson and I were very good traffic control officers. They usually had us working a block apart from each other, especially around 5th and Flower, which I worked, and Oz V. worked 5th and Figueroa, which was a street right before you put the traffic on the 110 freeway going north and south to empty out the Civic Center. See, I found that niche that was just right for me. Now, going back to the Supreme Court justice, right? Everything that I saw, it makes me think of this verse in Scripture. And I don't use Scripture unless, well, you know, that's the the modus operandi that I've lived by my entire adult life. And I think that this Scripture is appropriate for the moment, since our nation is getting ready to select a new Supreme Court justice. And wasn't it great that the nominee gave high fives or props to Justice Ginsburg? She said that she is being looked at for the position, but she says that she is not trying to fill her seat. What a great statement to make. It shows not only the intelligence of the person that you're putting in, but the lack of niggardly behavior in a person that is being selected for one of the highest seats in the land in terms of jurisprudence. And I just can't wait to see when the hearings continue, when some of these Democrats try to get their hands on this woman and tear her apart. I would love to watch that just to see how brilliance supersedes cowardly, niggardly behavior. And that's what I think of some of these politicians, albeit they're white or black. Look up the word niggardly, and then you know how I'm using it. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Somebody send me a horrible video of two actors. One of the actors was acting as Trump on the floor, bouncing on a rubber ball, and a group of children kicking and whining because he's not getting his way. I don't think that that was hospitable to do for a president. I don't care what party you're in. I think that people have lost a sense of pure humanity. The verse goes on and says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. See that? The gift that God has given you, use that to serve others. That's what I did yesterday. That's what I'm going to do tomorrow when I have a guest. I'm going to be serving them. The guest is coming. No, the guest is coming by my house, bringing breakfast, coffee. Fine. But he will be hospitably treated. No, he's not black either. I'm not going to tell who he is or what he is because it doesn't matter. I want to know, are you doing what these verses say? Okay. Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. That's 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. See, I live by that. Whether you believe in female pastors? No, because God doesn't. The Bible doesn't. Well, I'm a pastor and I'm a female. No, you're not. You're out of line. You can't be following the Holy Scriptures. Just like if I was a Muslim and you asked me that. And if the Quran said that you're not to have that, who are you to do that? See, so you find that path that is a sure fit for you and walk in it. I'm not going to walk in anybody else's paths. And you know, it would do you well to find out. Let's back up. Have you searched out the objectives of your life? What do I want to become? Well, I want to become an engineer. Are you in school this semester? Are you studying on your computer? Are you finishing the lessons? Are you reading all of the material? I was speaking with a friend of mine. He's up in age, going to grad school. I called him and said, "Hey, man, how you doing? Want to talk a couple of hours?" He said, "John, I can't do it. I got this paper I have to write." He's working on his master's. I said, "Oh, I understand. I understand. I've written my papers. I've done my work. I'm retired and enjoying it." That's the way you have to view your life. Then, as you discover what gets in the way of you being an objective person, eliminate that in every way from you. Even if it means, listen, even if it means not having to do anything with persons that really don't want to have anything to do with you. Man, you know what? If I had come to have learned that lesson when I was a young man, my whole life would have taken a different path altogether. My whole life. And I realized this. The reason for me being and doing or functioning the way I'm doing now is because life is short for me. I'm on the downward scale, not on the upward. I'm going down. So I'm trying to leave these things for you to understand because this brings peace for me. Now, since I've eliminated the difficulty of sabotages coming in my life, sabotaging it, I have to leave their lives where they are because they may want to live that life where people can sabotage them. Nah. Then I find a path that is sure to fit for me, and I walk in that the rest of my days. And so that when death does come, the end is right around the corner. When all of that is in due process upon me, I can face it, along with facing God's will. I hope this has helped you. Stay connected during the virus. And those of you that, I know that all of us are talking and meeting with somebody. Solidify friendships. That's a wonderful thing. Solidify friendships. Make sure that they're solid. Dump those flimsy, part-timey, "Well, I'll be your friend if you do this. Or if you do that for me." No. Just be real with the individual. And know that everybody's not going to pair off right. Everybody's not going to be your friend like you want them to be. Those may be the individuals that they say are toxifying your life because of what you find yourself doing is attempting to please them to make their lives better. And at the same time, you're ruining your own. Just three little things. Maybe they can help you stay connected during the coronavirus. Hey, thank you for coming to my website. Love you much. See you next time.